Welcome to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with Dr. David Daniels, the program that will develop your own self-awareness and strengthen relationships with all of those around you. Now, enlightening you with the Enneagram, here's Dr. David Daniels.
Hello, this is David Daniels, and this is Voice America and the Bringing the Enneagram to Life program. We're now moving to another one of the heart types on the Enneagram. Remember, there's three centers of intelligence. The mental center of intelligence, we all know a lot about that because our Western world depends upon a lot of that in our education. But there's also a great center of intelligence of the heart. And remember that the heart intelligence of emotion is about connection, about approval and love, and about the image that we have. Very important center of intelligence. And then the third, remember, is the body center of intelligence, the kinesthetic center. It lets us know about our vital instincts and about our relation to the environment and to power and control in our lives. So just as a reminder, Enneagram, Ennea means nine in Greek. Enneagram means a figure of nine personality styles. So the Enneagram is about nine different personality styles, different patterns of personality that show us how we tend to think, feel, and act in the world. And it's very vital and very useful because it gets right down to basic motivation. What drives us? What's the energy that we put into life in order to cope with life? And how does our attention get organized? Extremely important because we all have perceptual filters over our minds, our heads, our hearts, our bodies, that limit the way we see and experience the world and perceive it. And understanding this can be very liberating. We need to develop a good self-observer in order to do this, and that's one of the things in the work of the Enneagram that we concentrate on. Now today we're moving to another of the heart center, to type 4 on the Enneagram. Very important. This is what we call the romantic or the ultimate idealist sometimes. And just to review this and to go into the basic structure of this type or the basic proposition, including its motivation, is the way to get started. The original sense of wholeness that we come into the world with, that where there's nothing of any substance that's missing, that original completeness, goes into the background for this child that perceives that the world comes in and abandons them. Now, we all have abandonment experiences, but it's very important to this particular type, perhaps because of the genetic endowment even, but that abandonment experience leaves the child feeling like something of real importance is missing in my life. And I need to go out and find that in the world. So you come to believe that you can regain this original sense of whole and complete connection by finding the ultimate ideal relationship or love or situation that will be fulfilling, and by becoming unique and special and different and not just being ordinary and having your own sense of feelings and that sense of authenticity in your life. And the energy that naturally drives this, because something of importance is missing or seems to be missing in life, is an energy of longing, sometimes called envy, but it's like longing to find that ultimate fulfillment. And attention naturally gets narrowed or focuses on all that which is missing that really is important, not any old thing, but that which is really important. And you don't tend to see all the good things that are right there with you. And the worst thing that could happen, or the ultimate concern, the thing you want to avoid, is like somehow being so deficient or so lacking, because you wouldn't have been abandoned in the first place somehow if you didn't feel that inside you weren't lacking, that if you were so deficient and lacking, that then no one would ever love you. So you try to avoid that at almost all cost as best you can. Well, I'd like to turn to our panel and introduce them. We have Judy, we have Art, and we have Claire. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, David.
And I'd like to just turn to you and what does this bring up to you, this sort of basic structure? What's this basic theme about the type?
I think that for as long as I can remember, I've been looking for this sense of completeness, the sense of that somewhere out there, there's something that will make me whole again, or make me feel like there is nothing missing. And I tend to do that most often in relationship, but also in looking for higher ideals. So I think that, you know, I've always been interested in birth and death and concepts like that. But the way it plays out mostly in my life is in relationships. So I would say that I've been in relationships one after another ever since I was old enough to be able to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Because that's where the ultimate ideal is. If you can just find the relationship that would be, quote, totally fulfilling, then you'd be okay.
Yes, and what's interesting about it is that it you go to find that, you think you found it, so you dive in, and then you notice that it really isn't there, so then you have to leave to go try and find it somewhere else.
Because there you get in, and there's a sort of push-pull. I mean, it looks like it's going to be the fulfillment, and then, of course, there's something, like we're all human, there's something that's lacking in it, or there's some disappointment in it.
Right, and my attention will focus on that part of it. So even if everything else is great, I tend to focus on the part that's not great.
Right.
That's missing. And then that focus becomes the reason why I need to go.
Right. Now, do you, in the relationship, do you sometimes feel like you're the one that's lacking? Or you're the disappointment?
Yeah, I would say that more before I get into the relationship. So there are people that, you know, I definitely would think that I wouldn't be able to have a relationship with. And in those sense, I feel lacking. But then once I, you know, get into a relationship, then I find that they're more the one that's lacking.
Mm-hmm. Or seem to be lacking.
Seem to be lacking, right.
Right. All right. Thank you. Claire?
I feel that my longing often has been expressed through the pursuit of art and studying art and almost trying to find out who I am or finding meaning through the through artistic expression, dance, painting.
So the sense of that creativity of a kind of artistic temperament, if you will, and longing to find some sense of fulfillment through the world of art has been important.
Yes. Yep. Sense of fulfillment and searching for my place in the world, maybe, or where I fit in, what things in the world mean. Just sort of a holistic sense through the process of creating artwork, mm-hmm. Connections, a sense of expressing myself authentically. That's how right. Part of my longing and searching to find wholeness or
right.
Myself.
Right. One of the things is like being able to see the possibilities of beauty. The possibilities in art, the possibilities of understanding things deeply. Is that correct?
Yes, beauty, and to understand things deeply. And, of course, art is not all about beauty. It is sometimes about pain, but it is generally always a sense of the search for authenticity.
Thank you. And Judy?
Well, longing for me has always been the excessive romantic longing, and I never saw it as a problem. I was comfortable in it until I read the Enneagram and I saw that I was truly abandoning myself in a sense because I wasn't in the here and now and aware with what was real and right in front of me. I was in this romantic fantasy. And I still find myself going there from time to time with this romantic ideal, thought of an ideal lover. But I try to bring myself back to where I am at the present time, and it's been helpful.
So in this pursuit of the ideal lover, my hunch would be that sometimes that's actually there, but sometimes it's not there. Even in the same relationship.
That's true. There's always something that another level you could take it to. So there's always something missing.
Right. And then when that happens, what's the inner experience?
Well, I get insecure, I guess, because I'm not sure if we're going to take it to that next level, and I think that's why I try so hard, and I'm so obsessed with it because of my own insecurities.
Do you start to feel that in the disappointment of it not being there, that you're the disappointment or the other person's the disappointment, or how does that work?
Honestly, it's never me. I don't see it that way. If they reject me, then I usually can find a reason why they didn't appreciate my worth, and I just, that's a sad thing for both of us, but they blew it.
They blew it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So then you're on the quest again.
Yes.
Right. So we're already talking about relationship, but what do you bring to relationship that's really wonderful? What are your strengths and your type?
Well, everyone talks about the empathy and the intensity. I believe that there's a fun level that that other people may not have. They may not have that level of fun.
I like the way you talk about levels, like there's always another level to go to, right? You don't stay with, you know, the pleasure of the
infinite
moment.
Amount. Yeah,
infinite amount, right. But you do, there's an intensity and there's an authenticity and there's a kind of deepening of feelings.
Right.
In relationship for you, Art, what do you bring to it that's a blessing, so to speak?
I think the ability to have emotions be there without having it for no reason. I mean, just emotions are okay, and that's a good thing in a relationship sometimes. It gives permission for the other person to have emotions. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is that I often bring a broader perspective to the relationship I have. So this kind of almost obsession with bigger issues, right? But, it almost relieves sometimes the day-to-day grind where, you know, people are, right now I have, two small children, so it's a lot about raising children. But then also kind of saying, even things like, what's going on in Iraq, or bringing those things into the conversation gives it almost a broader meaning to the relationship.
We'll be right back to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with host Dr. David Daniels.
Information you need, when you need it. VoiceAmerica.com. What is this wonderful and effective self-help system known as the Enneagram? The Enneagram tells us why we feel, think, and behave the way we do. And most importantly, it tells us how to become our best self in all domains of life. We introduce to you the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies. Our training program has highest standards in its field, with remarkable records of trained, skilled professionals. The Trifold School of Enneagram Studies includes the Enneagram Professional Training Program, business training, consultations, classes in integration of psychology and spiritual life. For more information on our products, training, and classes, go online to www.AuthenticEnneagram.com or call toll-free at 1-866-366-8973. Change your life today with the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies.
Hello, this is Rory Garrett, President of Greyhound Pets of America and host of Greyhounds Make Great Pets on Voice America. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern for an insightful and enjoyable talk about one of man's best friends, the Greyhound. Learn about the history of the Greyhound, discuss proper obedience and training techniques, and find out more about the Greyhound racing industry and what they are doing to help the adoption effort of the former race dog. If you own a Greyhound or just love dogs like I do, join me for Greyhounds Make Great Pets every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from Hill's office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Go beyond success and discover a deeper meaning to life. Join host Jeffrey Gitterman and his guests, the premier thought leaders in business, politics, science, spirituality, and who have reached the pinnacle of financial and professional attainment in their fields, only to discover a profound lack of fulfillment with what our culture defines as success. So won't you tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time to Jeffrey Gitterman and Beyond Success, redefining the meaning of prosperity, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Have you put down the morning paper in disgust because they weren't reporting what you wanted to read? Have you wondered why there aren't more women's voices in the news? Well, so have I, and we're about to change that. This is former Minnesota State Senator Ember Reichgott-Young. I hope you'll join me for a new radio show every Thursday all about women on the move. We'll look at what's missing in the news, the issues often ignored in mainstream media, like how does Social Security reform really affect women? Why is the Department of Labor proposing to stop collecting workforce data on women? What role will women play in Iraq's new government? We'll create that debate right here. The Ember Reichgott-Young Show will have prominent women you know and inspiring women you don't know. We'll share stories of women's leadership, courage, and vision. We just need you to be part of the conversation. So join us for the Ember Reichgott-Young Show every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. It's all about you, women on the move, on voiceamerica.com.
Continuing to be the authority in Internet Talk Radio, you're listening to voiceamerica.com.
We now return to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with Dr. David Daniels.
So you can always see another possibility or a larger context.
A larger context, right.
In addition to bringing, you know, the really, and we all connect by feelings, bringing the heart into the relationship and bringing feelings in and allowing for that.
Right.
And not being perturbed by feelings or bothered, you know, you welcome them. Yes. Clara, what do you bring to relationship?
I do also bring that sense of empathy and ability to connect and make someone feel special, to reiterate what they might be giving me back and point out their unique qualities. I like to be special, so, and I also like others to feel special, and I see into people and sense their feelings or at least be open to hearing them.
And you mentioned just a bit ago too that if there's pain that's involved, you don't run away from it.
No, I can stick with it and I can go deep, and it's not a fearful thing for me. It's a natural thing to hold someone in pain, to the depths of pain. It's rewarding, but it's also a way of giving. It's natural.
Right. Now, what in relationship would be challenging about being with a four, about being with a romantic, your style?
Well, if you're always looking for what's longing or missing, then you're not really valuing the present situation, which is flawed. So what happens is if you're with someone in relationship, whether it be a friend or a significant other, it's very easy to find the flaws. And there's a disappointment that sets in because the ideal is not being lived up to. So I tend to maybe become irritated or push the person away, and in search of the ideal and missing the wonderful person that's right in front of me.
Right. Thank you. I've taught and I have colleagues that I've taught with that are the type 4, the the romantic, and you know, this is a great, incredible, creative experience, and there's a joy in it and an intensity, and what we make of this is just wonderful. And then at some point or other, I feel like we've done this great job, and the person's going, no, there's more. And I start to feel like I might be this disappointment. So it feels like you're right on in what you say, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, it can be hard for other people, sure. Right. Yeah.
Art, how about might be difficult?
You know, I think our avoidance or my avoidance is ordinary things, mm-hmm. right? And if you're living with somebody, and they just don't, and I just don't notice that there's laundry on the floor, that there's dirty dishes, that there's the lawn needs, you know, I just don't notice those things. It's not even like, I mean, I think I'd do them if I saw them, but that's not even true. I don't like to do them. So that's tough when you live with somebody or in a relationship with somebody. Like I'm more like the, like I said, the broader, you know, the broader context things and the day-to-day stuff a lot of times gets left out.
As you just said, you have two little kids, so right. There's going to be a lot of stuff on the floor, quite a bit of dishes and quite a bit of laundry and all that stuff that's in the sort of ordinary domain, you know, the 80% in the middle between whatever the extremes of life are.
Exactly. And, you know, and I have to actually consciously make myself do that stuff. And even then, half the time I don't do it.
Right. I often say one of the tasks for the type four is to make the ordinary extraordinary. To somehow, you know, really allow, if you're washing the dishes, you might as well really be there with the dishes and experience it fully. I know it sounds a little, but it's true. As long as you're going to be doing it, you know, why be something else, you know, and in pain about it? But yes, thank you. That's a difficulty. Judy, what about you?
I've found that I get defensive when I feel belittled, my intellect or something. I guess that's my insecurity again. So I'm not to have a knee-jerk reaction and take things so personally.
Mm-hmm. But what would be challenging to the other in a relationship with you?
Well, my knee-jerk reactions. and also that I demand an intense relationship. And a lot of men I find it hard to articulate their feelings.
Right. So how are you with the ordinary?
Well, since I've read your book, I see flowers like I look at them like I've never seen them before, and I'm working on appreciating the beauty in the ordinary more.
Mm-hmm. Right, great. So I want to move to, you're actually doing this in a bit, like what will set you off? What will get you into, we all have, no matter what our type is, times in which we get personally reactive. Something sets us off or pushes our buttons, so to speak. What will do that to you? Like, Claire, could you? What'll, quote, set you off?
Well, environment is important to me. So if my creativity is going along and I'm fixing up the house pretty and my husband walks in the door and drops everything on the floor or whatever, my sensitivity to the fact that I've created a beautiful environment and is insulted. Mm-hmm. And so my reaction will come up around that because I perceive it as not caring. Mm-hmm. He's coming home, he's tired, you know, he's in a different space and he's, you know, that's my perception.
Right. You bring up something really important. You know, you reference his behavior back to you personally. Like the feeling is, oh, he doesn't care, or he may be just coming in tired and dropping his coat or something.
Right. I guess in that way, it's a self-referencing kind of behavior where I'm always, I know what my feelings are, and I feel hurt or sensitive, and so those feelings are preventing me from seeing what's going on with him, and taking him into consideration.
Right. Thank you. Art, what about you? What'll set you off, so to speak.
I was just thinking about when you were asking that question, because it's, I don't like to think that I get set off, for one thing. You know,
but lots of people get set off. Yeah. You know, they retract, or they don't necessarily blow up or something, but yeah. They react internally at least.
I think it's not some combination of either being misunderstood or not appreciated for what I've done.
Right.
And both of those at the same time is really the key. So, like, if I have this whole thing going on in my head about all the great things that I'm doing, and then, you know, if I do come home and I drop my coat on the floor and I get some negative feedback for that, my first reaction is, but what about all this stuff? You know, you just don't understand my day or what I've been doing or what, you know. And the truth is, she doesn't understand because she's not in my head. You know, I haven't told her, maybe. Or maybe she just doesn't care. But the thing is, you know, it's almost like a righteous indignation that if you really understood what I was doing, then you wouldn't feel, you know,
right.
You wouldn't say those things.
So not feeling understood, not feeling special, not feeling appreciated for what you do will set you off, at least internally.
And externally.
Well,
right.
and the other thing is that when it might be an okay thing for me to say, look, could you put your briefcase away instead of dropping it on the floor? But that might be a really okay thing to ask for. And what gets in the way, however, is the reactivity and the personal attack. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where I go off track.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand. You know, I wanted to just follow up to what Art had said. You know, there's this old saying in relationship with a four, the first and most important thing is understanding. And then the second thing is understanding them. And then the third thing is understanding them. And then finally, maybe you can get to something else. But it's like, please understand me. It goes very, very deep and appreciate me. Thank you. Judy, we'll get you set off, so to speak.
Well, I want it to be understood that I'm not only special, I'm extra special. Mm-hmm. And recently I went to a party and my boyfriend was talking to somebody else for most of the night. And it made me feel that, you know, I was not the most special person to be talked to at the time, and it set me off. But I know, again, it's my insecurities.
Right. Well, and the insecurity, what's it about? What's it saying?
Well, that I'm less than, and I like to be treated special, at least by my significant other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need everybody's adoration.
Right. This is an awful feeling, though, of being left.
Yes, abandoned.
To be left or abandoned, mm-hmm. The recreation of the original kind of experience.
We'll be right back to Empower Your Life with Income with host Dr. David Daniels.
Information you need, when you need it, voiceamerica.com.
What is this wonderful and effective self-help system known as the Enneagram? The Enneagram tells us why we feel, think, and behave the way we do. And most importantly, it tells us how to become our best self in all domains of life. We introduce to you the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies. Our training program has the highest standards in its field, with remarkable records of trained, skilled professionals. The Trifold School of Enneagram Studies includes the Enneagram Professional Training Program, business training, consultation, classes in integration of psychology and spiritual life. For more information on our products, training, and classes, go online to www.AuthenticEnneagram.com or call toll-free at 1-866-366-8973. Change your life today with the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies.
Hello, this is Rory Garay, President of Greyhound Pets of America and host of Greyhounds Make Great Pets on Voice America. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern for an insightful and enjoyable talk about one of man's best friends, the Greyhound. Learn about the history of the Greyhound, discuss proper obedience and training techniques, and find out more about the Greyhound racing industry and what they are doing to help the adoption effort of the former race dogs. If you own a Greyhound or just love dogs like I do, join me for Greyhounds Make Great Pets every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control, and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Go beyond success and discover a deeper meaning to life. Join host Jeffrey Gitterman and his guests, the premier thought leaders in business, politics, science, spirituality, and culture, who have reached the pinnacle of financial and professional attainment in their fields, only to discover a profound lack of fulfillment with what our culture defines as success. So won't you tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time to Jeffrey Gitterman and Beyond Success, redefining the meaning of prosperity, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Have you put down the morning paper in disgust because they weren't reporting what you wanted to read? Have you wondered why there aren't more women's voices in the news? Well, so have I, and we're about to change that. This is former Minnesota State Senator Ember Reichscott Young. I hope you'll join me for a new radio show every Thursday all about women on the move. We'll look at what's missing in the news, the issues often ignored in mainstream media, like how does Social Security reform really affect women? Why is the Department of Labor proposing to stop collecting workforce data on women? What role will women play in Iraq's new government? We'll create that debate right here. The Ember Reichscott Young Show will have prominent women you know and inspiring women you don't know. We'll share stories of women's leadership, courage, and vision. We just need you to be part of the conversation. So join for the Ember Reichscott Young Show every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. It's all about you, women on the move, on voiceamerica.com.
Continuing to be the authority in Internet Talk Radio, you're listening to voiceamerica.com.
We now return to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with Dr. David Daniels.
And actually, you know, sometimes I think when we dig really deeply and understand our type, that in the instance of four, the romantic, is that some deep level, that's maybe not even conscious, that I wouldn't be left if there wasn't something lacking about me way down deep somehow. And I'm trying to compensate for that in everything by being special and beautiful and extraordinary, playing the edge of life, taking risks and things.
Yep.
So now that you've learned about the Enneagram, how has the Enneagram helped your life, each of you? How's it made a difference?
I'm much more aware and in the now. And the like I said before, the excessive romantic longing is diminished. And also I read about introjection. And so I've stopped doing that. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a kind of complicated notion. Introjection is one of the defense mechanisms. We get pretty psychological, but what do you mean by it personally?
Well, I know that I tend to be so hypersensitive to someone that I'm with that I take on their good emotions as well as their bad, and especially people who I really care about. And so I'm trying not to do that and to just be more present to my own feelings. And
now, what I would like to add to that is that taking in sort of lock, stock, and barrel the other person is sort of a way of preventing a loss from them. Like, I can take them inside. I'm really good. I can take those qualities in. I can interject them into myself, and it's like it prevents that kind of sense of loss or abandonment. So what else, and what other ways has the Enneagram been?
Well, it's helped me in so many ways. Understand my ex-husband and my sisters and my children and just the breathing techniques, which I had never done before, the mindful breathing. It really helps me stay grounded and present.
Right. And I just want to mark out that what you're saying is one of the things that we work with in our narrative tradition of the type speaking for themselves is building good self-observation by being able to come back to the breath often and to get recentered, and so that the inner observer gets stronger, the inner witness, and we don't just run out our usual pattern in in our blind fashion, so to speak. Art, what's been useful for you regarding the Enneagram?
Well, as you were saying, I think that the Enneagram coupled with continuing practice and self-observation, and the Enneagram gives you a very clear and precise guide to the mechanistic operation of your personality, right? And so I think what has happened for me is when I started out learning the Enneagram, I saw a lot of things that I did that were habitual. And I was able to interrupt some of them. And then I was able to interrupt more of them. And even, you know, I've been doing it a long time now, and even now, I guess for my whole life, I'll be in the middle of a situation and I'll see that habitual come up and I'll be able to identify it and I'll be able to stop it sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes. And that's a huge help to not only my personal relationship, but my business relationships, because, you know, those patterns operate everywhere I am. And so if I'm in a business situation and we're focused on a contract I'm focused on what's missing from the contract and I got to have this in there, and, you know, if it's not in there, the whole thing's going to... Well, no, that's not true. You know, look at all this other stuff. And, you know, that...
Right,
that
it's sort of like, when is enough enough? When is this a really good contract? Maybe not the ultimate contract.
Exactly.
But really workable.
And some of that has to do with breathing. It's interesting that the breathing... If I'm in that state and I have this anxiety about what's missing and I can actually take a breath, then I can see a bigger picture. And that's the other thing, you know, the Enneagram that's outside of my type, learning a lot about the Enneagram has helped me to see a bigger picture.
Right. That's great. Thank you. It's so important, that aspect of being able to observe ourselves helps us wake up and we see these habitual patterns. You said this so eloquently. And by seeing them and observing them, we can get more discerning and know, you know, when to just let go, when enough is enough in this instance. So thank you for that. And Claire, yourself, how has the Enneagram been helpful in your life?
I've done a lot of traditional therapy. And I can, off and on, and I continue to do that. The Enneagram has given me the opportunity, as Art and Judy were saying, to break patterns. It's the most effective system, or it's highly, highly accurate. And seeing one's perceptual filter is crucial to self-observation, mm-hmm. and to that pattern breaking, and can go hand in hand with traditional therapy, as I have found, to help self-discovery and grieving and moving on and enjoying life more peacefully.
Right. You know, we talk about, and this is for the audience out there, really, that we teach in the narrative tradition of the type speaking for themselves, and you are showing how beneficial that is, because the whole business of becoming a good self-observer, of being able to notice yourself, of being able to speak for yourself, to be the expert on your own self, discovering yourself leads to self-development. And this is the basis of this whole teaching for the type speaking for themselves, as you're doing with us today. Well, I want to ask one other question, which is, you know, what have we not mentioned that's really important in the themes?
I think a theme that plays out in my patterns of attention, but daily or maybe by the hour, is envy. Mm-hmm. And that's it's more of look, you know, seeing everywhere I look what either is missing and could be better, or what's not, I walked into this beautiful place where we are today, and I said, boy, I wish I could have more of this in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, the comp came out of my head wasn't, boy, isn't this a beautiful place. It was, boy, isn't this I wish I had more. This is something that's missing from my life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or looking at some couple that looks really happy for them, and it's like they must have it. You know, like they must have it all together. You don't know what goes on inside their house.
Right.
But it looks like they've got it, that kind of, and longing for that kind of whatever it seems to be.
Right. Your self-worth is often looking outwardly, find the worth inside you. And so the envy comes up in seeing situations and or people who have attained things that you perceive are better than what you've attained, or et cetera. It'll run the gamut. Right. But the envy is always active.
So anything else, Judy, before we turn to our audience for questions?
Well, I guess the melancholy that they speak of, I never thought of myself as a depressed person, but when I read that the fours do have this, what they call melancholy, I did see that there's just this, I sigh from time to time, and I'm wistful, but I'm glad I'm not clinically depressed.
We'll be right back to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with host Dr. David Daniels.
Information you need, when you need it, voiceamerica.com.
What is this wonderful and effective self-help system known as the Enneagram? The Enneagram tells us why we feel, think, and behave the way we do. And most importantly, it tells us how to become our best self in all domains of life. We introduce to you the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies. Our training program has the highest standards in its field, with remarkable records of trained, skilled professionals. The Trifold School of Enneagram Studies includes the Enneagram Professional Training Program, business training, consultations, classes in integration of psychology and spiritual life. For more information on our products, training, and classes, go online to www.authenticenneagram.com or call toll-free at 1-866-366-8973. Change your life today with the Trifold School of Enneagram Studies.
Hello, this is Rory Garay, President of Greyhound Pets of America and host of Greyhounds Make Great Pets on Voice America. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for an insightful and enjoyable talk about one of man's best friends, the Greyhound. Learn about the history of the Greyhound, discuss proper obedience and training techniques, and find out more about the Greyhound racing industry and what they are doing to help the adoption effort of the former race dogs. If you own a Greyhound or just love dogs like I do, join me for Greyhounds Make Great Pets every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Go beyond success and discover a deeper meaning to life. Join host Jeffrey Gitterman and his guests, the premier thought leaders in business, politics, science, spirituality, and culture, who have reached the pinnacle of financial and professional attainment in their fields, only to discover a profound lack of fulfillment with what our culture defines as success. So won't you tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Jeffrey Gitterman and Beyond Success, Redefining the Meaning of Prosperity, right here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Have you put down the morning paper in disgust because they weren't reporting what you wanted to read? Have you wondered why there aren't more women's voices in the news? Well, so have I, and we're about to change that. This is former Minnesota State Senator Ember Reichgott Young. I hope you join my new radio show every Thursday all about women on the move. We'll look at what's missing in the news, the issues often ignored in mainstream media, like how does Social Security reform really affect women? Why is the Department of Labor proposing to stop collecting workforce data on women? What role will women play in Iraq's new government? We'll create that debate right here. The Ember Reichgott Young Show will have prominent women you know and inspiring women you don't know. We'll share stories of women's leadership, courage, and vision. We just need you to be part of the conversation. So join us for the Ember Reichstadt Young Show every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. It's all about you, women on the move, on VoiceAmerica.com.
Continuing to be the authority in Internet Talk Radio, you're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
We now return to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram with Dr. David Daniels.
So I want to just make a clarification here that melancholy, as we speak of it in the Enneagram, is not the same thing as melancholia, which is another word for depression, often severe depression. It means kind of seeing things sweetly with a sad, even happy, sad feeling, a wistful feeling of what could be or what's beautiful or what's possible. And but the type does lend itself to depression, because if so many things are missing, you know, as you perceive it, it's like there's something that's always lacking, and it can lead to depression. And of course, any type can have depression, but that's kind of a trigger often. So we, if we could have questions from our audience for our panel, our fours.
Hi.
Your name?
My name is Trish. I'm wondering, how often do you find that others are perturbed by your feelings, or that they can't relate to what you're feeling?
For me, it depends on the type I'm talking to, because I find that fives are way overwhelmed and back off and really can only take me in small doses. And
fives are the observer type that tends to be a little wary of big, strong emotions.
Yes. But I've since looking at my behavior, I've turned down my charm and my and my passion and a lot of the in-your-face emotions, just to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, to be more complete, you know, we want you to have all these great emotions in the extreme, but to also be able to have lighter emotions or littler, you know, makes you more complete rather than
balanced,
you know.
Right.
You know, and I think fours often get this message that I should squelch these emotions. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have them, rather than I just need to fill in the middle. I think there's a big difference there. Claire, you're going to say something?
I agree. That's accurate. We often are accused of being too intense. So that gives us, reinforces a sense of abandonment. But I think what we have to remember is that everyone else is not always wrong. Sometimes it's a good thing to be intense. Other people need it. We need it. And also, as you've said, we need to fill in the middle so that it isn't always intensity.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Another question?
Hi, I'm Ann. A question a couple of you I know have mentioned children, and perhaps all three have children. And I'm just wondering how being a four, what aspects of being a four, or how being a four, how that plays into your parenting of your children.
Great, thank you.
Well, for me, it's especially with my older child, it's been good. It's been really, I feel it's been very good, because he can talk. I know that he can talk to me about anything, right? There are a lot of things. You know, he's about 10. He's going to be 10 soon, and there are things that he doesn't want to talk about. But, you know, often he'll talk to me about them, because he knows that whether it's good or bad or, you know, sad or happy, he can say it. You know, and it's not going to, you know, be judgmental. I'll just kind of. And that's been good about it. I think the bad thing about it is it's hard to be so narcissistic when you have kids around. Right? And so that's good. So let me say, that's good. That's good, right? But the natural pull to be so narcissistic is interrupted. And that's it takes some getting used to. Right? I'll be sitting there working on my computer, and my kid will sometimes sit there for 10 or 15 seconds saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," before I'll even acknowledge him. So I have to, you know, when the kids are up and they're around, I got to be there. And that's.
I just want to add a little piece there. It's not you know, because of the definition of narcissism, it's actually certainly in that spectrum, but it's more like getting self-absorbed.
Right.
Because a person can be, you know, so present for others, so empathetic. But when you're referencing back to yourself and you get self-absorbed, then exactly what you say can happen. It's great having kids around because little ones, they're not going to let you do that very well.
No. Not really.
Right.
My son, I'm constantly saying, well, let's look at your behavior or how are you feeling? And he goes, Mom, quit trying to turn me into a shrink. Mm-hmm. He's only 11.
Uh-huh. So what are the joys and struggles in parenting then as a four?
Oh, well, my daughter is older, and I didn't have this information before, and I wish I did. But she's embraced it now, and it's just made my whole relationship with my children that much deeper.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Claire?
I think the pursuit of creativity and options that way is something I bring to the kids' lives to enrich them. And I do also have a problem maybe maintaining the mundane routine to a degree. But there, you know, there's a lot of fun and enjoyment because the four, you know, can live it up or have a good time and, you know, really experience life. And then there's the challenges of just, you know, keeping everything in place,
right. I guess. Yes, that's really, you know, children, you know, make us be more whole, you know, they, no matter what the type is, that, you know, the love of our children, you know, brings us out and it makes us deal with our issues often. And so they're sometimes like the parent to us, bringing us into adulthood, if you will, when we first have our children. Thank you. So another question.
My name is Chris, and you've spoken fairly often as I've listened about creativity and beauty. I'm wondering if your type has an experience of that and you notice it's different from the way other people experience it.
I don't know that it's different, but I do feel the need to express myself creatively, and so I write. It's cathartic, and it's also a way to write different than other people. I try to write in a very, you know, way that I haven't seen before, but I don't think it's really different than many other people trying to express themselves.
I think what's important to know about fours is there are fours who are definitely not artists. There are fours who are attorneys and accountants and people who would never describe themselves as artistic, and yet they have an aesthetic sensibility to the nuances of life, and maybe that's what is important to keep in mind, the subtleties and nuances.
Right. I just want to back that up because, you know, there's some people think that I can't be a four because I'm not artistic in the literal sense.
Right.
But there's a kind of creative spirit, a creative way of viewing the world that brings novelty and brings the expression of, like, the expands the edge, so to speak.
A creative approach. You could consider yourself as having a creative approach to life as an attorney and as a rock climber. It doesn't have to be boxed into the arts as we know them.
Right. Thank you. So another question. Well, dream one up. We can cut. You know, we can cut this. All right. Let me. Instead of that, then let's come back here and say, well, do you have? We have just a little time left. Would you each have a concluding remark or concluding statement for us?
Well,
Judy,
I like being a four. I find most people like their notes. I very much into love and relationships and connection, and so I as long as I keep present and aware, I believe I could bring that to not only my family but everyone I meet.
Great, thank you. Art?
Yeah, my comment is more about the Enneagram in general, in that, I mean, I also enjoy being a four, and I'm finding that when I'm in relationship with another person of my type or another type, that as I learn more about myself, like especially in the last year, in the last few years, I've actually come to appreciate myself a lot more. I mean, when I first learned the Enneagram, I used it as a way to see what else was missing. Like before, I had this vague idea that I was messed up, but the Enneagram gave me this precise map on how I was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there it was. I'm too emotional. You know, so all this stuff. But now, what's happened to me before is on a more subtle level, I'm really being able to appreciate the really good things about being emotional and the really good things about being, you know, a little artistic or seeing the world in a little different way maybe than other people. And I've also then been able to see how that is also operating these other types, some of which I don't like very much, but that there's something beyond the type, beyond the habitual patterns that makes people really good and really, you know, is the good part about being in a relationship.
I really love what you just said. It gives us a map. It gives us a map of the ways we're, quote, messed up, unquote. But it also, in that map, is all the strengths and all the, you know, if we let ourselves go to what's already all right, it gives us a map about what we can build upon and our strengths and what we need to, you know, work on that are, we consider our liabilities. And it's a very precise map, so I thank you for that. Claire?
I don't think I have anything to add to that. It was so well put, and just to reinforce that the Enneagram is a roadmap to compassion building for oneself and others.
Right. Well, just in conclusion, I just want to summarize that here's the type that's longing for the whole and complete life and not quite realizing that there's wholeness and completeness and the gratitude that goes with that and the equanimity that goes with that that's already there. And that this is the task to end the ultimate longing and realizing that you're already all right, that there's much that's there and still that you can grow and you can change and that your feelings and that your connection and the depth of that, you know, are very valuable to the rest of us in showing the way to the open heart. I want to thank all of you for being here, and we look forward to the next of our heart types in our next program.
Thank you for listening to Empower Your Life with the Enneagram on voiceamerica.com. Join us every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative hour of Empower Your Life with the Enneagram, right here on the network truly dedicated to your health, Voice America Health and Wellness.